rest of the story. Captain Albert Berry's mission was clear. Deliver the vital communique to his commander, Colonel W.T. Wood, as soon as possible. The problem was it was committed to memory, and considering the otherwise danger of Berry's mission, the unavoidable distractions of his considerable peril, part or all of the critically specific message could easily be forgotten. The communique ran thus. The enemy has routed the left flank of the army at Kinloch, wounding the commanding officer, and is rapidly closing in on the remaining forces. Under his breath, Captain Berry muttered that message over and over and over, even as he climbed into the two-seater aircraft at Kinloch and roared off into the glowering March sky. Headquarters, half an hour away. There'd be no time even to land, so Captain Berry would parachute in. Pilot Tony Janis promised, "I'll keep her straight and level as long as I can." He'd have to, for the captain's parachute rig was not backpacked. It was an old-fashioned system in which the canopy was enclosed in a metal cone attached to the forward underside of the airplane's fuselage. They're approaching headquarters now. They can see the base but have no radio contact. It's all up to Captain Berry. At 1,500 feet, he climbs out of the aircraft. And with the wind raging past him, he slips down to the landing gear and he wriggles into the parachute harness. He is clinging there now, studying the terrain below, calculating the moment at which he must tumble backward and down. The weight of his body will jerk the parachute from its housing, snap the retaining cord, and open the canopy. At least it should. And this time, after a dramatic 500-foot freefall, it does. It does. Once safely on the ground, Captain Berry gathers his gear and scrambles to the army post, and standing before Colonel Wood, he repeats the communique, quote, "The enemy has routed the left flank of the army at Kinloch, wounding the commanding officer, and is rapidly closing in on the remaining forces," end quote. Colonel Wood answers, "Thank you, Captain, that'll be all." And incredibly, that was all for the dangerous assignment on which you have just accompanied Captain Berry and his pilot, Tony Janis, was not a wartime mission. It was a war game, a military exercise observed by military personnel but performed by two civilian aviators, civilians whose ranks were informally conferred upon them just for this purpose. After all, nobody in the United States Army would then have been skilled enough or dumb enough to do what they did. For there was no army at Kinloch. It was a flying school at Kinloch Park, Missouri, 18 miles from the army post at Jefferson Barracks on the other side of St. Louis. Certain suicide, the daring duo had been told. And yet the annals of aviation reflect that on March 1 of 1912 was demonstrated the first ever parachute jump from an airplane. The first ever. Made successfully over the parade ground at Jefferson Barracks with no harm coming either to the jumper or to his pilot. But guess what? The observers didn't care about the parachute jump. The idea of using parachutes for military purposes was then considered, and would be for years thereafter, utterly unfeasible. What the Army wanted to determine was the effect on the stability of an airplane in flight if a passenger should happen to fall out. Even then, by the way, they called it military intelligence. Only now you know the rest of the story.